This is a HeadGum Original.
Previously on the HeadGum Podcast.
So when should I come back?
Probably never, but maybe like in a few years after this whole thing is either subsided or enough people have died and gained herd immunity that you don't have to worry about catching the virus.
Okay. And you're only saying that because of the virus? It's not because of any like personal beef you have with me?
What was the question you had? You said that was a good segue to the Matt Damon thing. And then yeah. I sneezed and it created this weird tangent for the last...
Believe it or not, this show is not scripted. This show is not scripted, but that was a perfect, tight cold open.
No, it wasn't.
Welcome to the HeadGum Podcast.
No way. You cannot start it this late in the game.
Train's rolling into the station, right? Week 4, audit edition, HeadGum Podcast style. We've got, with us as always, Marika Brownlee on the sax, Jake Hurwitz on the pod, and an old friend of mine, an old work colleague in a way, and I think he's going to be pretty happy to see the changes that have been made. Amir Blumenfeld, welcome to the show.
Yeah. Thanks. Forget it. Thank you.
What do you mean, forget it?
It felt like nothing.
Let's keep it positive.
Yeah, it felt like nothing's
let's
changed.
Let's keep it positive. Let's see what he has in store. It's all right.
So basically, the elephant in the room, which is what you called me, all hands meeting. 4 weeks ago, you kind of chewed me out. And again, at the beginning, I sort of thought it was because of other issues in your life. I thought that maybe you skipped therapy that week. You took it out as anger on me. With a bon me. And I've learned through this process, basically what we've done is we've had outside guests on the past 3 weeks as you took your, as you called it, sabbatical. And I feel like I've been bettered.
How? What have you changed? What have you learned?
Well, basically,
what's different about you?
I was broken down brick by brick with this poison, really. And in the middle of it, I was like, I've been better. You know, like I was kind of low and I was like, I've been better. But now I realize I've been bettered. The feedback that I got has changed me irreparably in a way, and as in, I'm not going to go back to the way it was.
What do you? Okay, let's have the episode. Let's see how it is. Let's see if you've changed. So far, it feels identical to when I left. And by the way, I didn't not go to therapy that day and then lose my cool on you.
Yeah.
Like, don't think that the fact that you still blame me for that means you've learned absolutely nothing, let alone been broken down brick by brick and bettered.
Well, it's not only broken down brick by brick, but it was also like I almost set up a brick and mortar.
What?
And I don't mean a storefront. I mean that the bricks were broken down brick by brick and I went to Mordor because it was a hero's journey.
Really?
What's that, Jake?
I was just following. I said, really, to your story. So you didn't even have to stop talking. I said, really? It's like a normal thing that people do in a conversation.
This might be a bad sample size because I'm a little on edge. I'm a little nervous that like he's going to yell at me again. But basically, I want to. The lessons that I've learned so far, Blumenfeld, are number one, I needed to stop blaming you, Amir, and I needed to instead look in the mirror and blame me.
Yep.
I need to be more relatable.
Have you done that?
What'd you say?
Have you done that?
Nice, Jeff. What'd you say? I like that.
I feel like I have. I think that I've been working on all these things, if you just let me finish for a second.
So why do you think I yelled at you in the meeting? Why do you think that happened? If you're going to assign blame to one of us for that.
I think that, anger is a secondary emotion. So you were hurt. So I had to look in the mirror and say, what did I do to hurt him? And for the longest time, I couldn't think of Jack. But what I've come to is that I tend to rub people the wrong way by not being relatable, and that's what I need to work on, is kind of reading more and knowing things that people can be joyous to talk to me about. Those are the two lessons I got from the first episode of this audit. The second episode was that these game shows, these, not pranks, but like quizzes, this gotcha journalism that I've made the show into, tends to get under your skin. And everyone else. It's just that you...
Yes.
Yeah.
My skin and everyone else's. That's right. Also known as everyone's skin.
I'd like to phrase it as your skin and everyone else's because you hit your breaking point first. And so it is a two-way street in that specific regard. And so the way that I fix that is, like, instead of, you know, bringing on segments about, like, conservative jargon spoken on the Senate floor for sure, but amplified on this show, that doesn't serve anyone, let alone marginalized communities. So what I have to do is not make sure that each game isn't samey. It can't be the same where it's like either or. Maybe one of those per show, but maybe one of them's more actually open to real discussion on the day,
okay,
in the Zoom.
Because it is, yeah, it does feel very repetitive when you're like, you have a guest on and then the game is one thing or, and then something that rhymes with that person's name.
Radish or gnaw.
That's actually pretty good. Like, I might have to table radish.
No, it's not. We're telling you that it's not.
So that wouldn't even be your own original bad idea. You want to steal a, never mind. Just move on. Forget
the
it.
Final week, last week, I had my, you know, some of my closest friends on who only had my best interests at heart. And they basically told me that I'm on the right track. It's just that I have to, Marika, what were the lessons from last week?
Way to listen.
I feel like you ingested them, so you should just speak from your heart about what they are, right?
Well, it was definitely, it was also mixing the audio levels, making sure that not every episode includes a damn Daniel, you know. With
that was one of my notes that I think you did a good job at taking.
By the third audit?
Yeah.
I was on the first two and he hadn't done it. Even though we brought it up on the first one.
It was absolutely the third one. But then even on the third one, he still played the old ones to compare and contrast.
Yeah,
but
I see.
Overall, it's fixed, which is great.
And that's pretty much the bulk of what I learned. I think the thing that I'd love to see from you, Amir, is maybe taking responsibility for your part in all this as well.
Honestly, hearing Damn Daniel is one of the funniest parts of the episode. So, like, the one thing that you did learn, I disagree with. Every time I hear it, I think it's really good.
All right, then I guess one of the lessons so far in this episode is that nobody's ever going to be happy, and I should just do what I want to do.
Interesting.
A valid lesson.
All right, let's just get into the show then. And again, if you have any notes, ideally positive, but constructive feedback is also welcome to a lesser extent. Just say, stop! Just yell, stop, and then that stops the show, and you can give the feedback, and then we'll talk about it in that space.
We heard it.
And then...
Don't do it again.
When we want to go
back...
You
yelled stop so loud that we all stopped. We all stopped. It had stopped.
Don't do that.
Yeah. All right. Welcome to another edition of the HeadGum Podcast. I know that everything so far will not be included, because that's just part of the audit. I think what we've been doing so far is just putting out the in between the stops and everything so that people get the product. Because at the end of the day, this is a product. This is IP. And we have to make people laugh. So
I don't know. Maybe check in with Ferris about what has been aired because you might be wrong.
But that would be embarrassing.
You don't listen to the show.
Not after I record it.
Yeah. That makes sense.
With us as never before, Amir Valerie Blumenfeld, Jacob Hurwitz himself, and Marika, the sax man Brownlee. How is everybody? I think that one of the other notes that Marika gave me, one of the other notes that Marika gave me was, you know, we can also just have normal conversation. It doesn't always have to be like goofs. Podcast proceed. How are you guys' personal lives? I feel like I haven't seen you in an office in a couple months.
It's been over a year since the lockdown. You haven't seen us in person since when? Last January, February?
Yeah,
this
that would have been
catching
March.
Up. Yeah. We've spoken since then. You're caught up, basically, I think. We're not doing anything or going anywhere.
All right.
You haven't seen me in, 14 months.
I'm good, personally. Thanks for asking. Had a great week.
Vaccinated yet, or?
Halfway there. Halfway vaxxed. That's cool. Half vaxxed, as they say.
Pfizer gang.
Got it in Manhattan. Hell yeah.
My week's fine. Just floating along, doing my little tasks, watching my little shows.
You're
great.
Belittling yourself.
Watching my tiny shows.
Also half-vaxxed Pfizer gang rep.
Yeah.
Respect.
How are you, Jeff?
I'm good. I mean, I'm nervous for sure for this episode. Something I was thinking about that was kind of interesting about the vax, though, is that it doesn't have to go in through your arm. That's just like the most popular place to get it because it can enter through the lymph nodes, etc. But it just has to be intramuscular. So I do wonder if there's a world where I could have gotten the vax in my axe.
Your what?
My ass.
Yeah, I guess. But if it's like a drive-through, how would that possibly go down?
At a CVS Minute Clinic.
Window down, ass out. I'm wearing some kind of G-string just to cover the whole thing.
A G-string really doesn't cover the hole. Not if you're bent over that way.
Hardly anything, really. You also texted me the other day, what if I get the Johnson & Johnson in my Johnson & Johnson? That's sort of like a one and done.
Yeah. So inappropriate.
You shouldn't text me that.
Yeah, you shouldn't want to have gotten the vaccine in your ass.
All right. I mean, people have this sore arm thing. I could have dealt with a sore ass. And that wouldn't have been too bad because I would have got that vax. Anyway, I mean, fucking nothing today.
What was that?
Nothing. Just Ferris cut that out.
No, no, stop.
Yeah.
No. Stop.
Yep.
Do you say we're giving you nothing
Not
today?
Not you, Marika. You've been great. It's just like I'm seeing blank stares from Jake and Amir, which is insane because they used to be comedians on collegehumor.com.
Oh my God.
What do you want with us to say? So far, all you said is that I wonder if I can get the vaccine in my ass. I fucking yes anded that and came up with a pretty good Johnson & Johnson joke. And then that's for you considered not giving you anything. I gave you more than you should have gotten and a lot more than you deserve.
You're right. I mean, it's like, and sometimes this is the exact thing of like looking in the mirror instead of blaming you. And I lapsed there while talking about the vax there. Jake, nice. You're kind of chic. You're kind of like someone with a good aesthetic.
Thank you. Unreal. Is there a follow-up?
What'd you say, Marika?
I just said unreal.
Relatability. It's like I wanted to kind of relate to him in that way. I can't help but feel like I have a cool aesthetic.
You're sitting in a closet full of suits. I do like your glasses today, though.
Oh, I'm getting LASIK. This is relatable to two out of three of you guys. I'm not for sure getting it, but I have my consultation. I was a candidate in December 2019, and I was going to get it. I had like a date set for the surgery, but then I ended up working on carpool. And we didn't get off until like the day before Christmas or something. So I didn't get to come home for that because I was going to do it here. But on Amir's recommendation, I found a place near Cedars.
On Amir's recommendation? Not my recommendation?
Yours did look like it was next to a Subway or some kind of Qdoba. Like it was definitely in a strip mall. And
it's not in a strip mall. It's on Wilshire. It's in fucking Beverly Hills, okay?
It's not.
It's mid-city. It's mid-city. And I resent you saying that it's next to a fucking Qdoba. Where did Amir go? Somewhere in the fucking valley, probably?
Obviously, bleep it then. Bleep that then.
It's an endorsement.
I don't need people knowing anything about us.
Fine, Ferris, bleep that out or cut that out. Wait, I don't
bleep
care.
That out? Where you got your LASIK done?
Yeah, because it's like a family pit? Friend. I don't know. I feel weird saying stuff like that.
Jake, you probably have healthy eyes. I know your prescription wasn't anywhere near as bad as mine.
What's yours?
-5.5 in both eyes.
Wow, that's a lot.
Pretty bad. So I need somebody like a...
I understand. You got to bleep that too. Yeah. I was actually 2020 when I got my LASIK. I was 2020. I just wanted
what?
To be... It wasn't good enough. I strive for beyond perfection.
Yeah.
Now and I'm 25,
25.
Oh,
where did I get it?
No, I said, really? And did you get beyond perfection?
I have a cataract in my right eye and my left eye is a glass eye now. So I don't really have depth perception and I see things are
You
a
went to the Qdoba for sure.
You get a quesadilla at my place. You get rice and beans and fucking glasses.
Rice and beans or rice and beans?
Poison beans and glasses.
Yeah, it's also a poorly rated Qdoba. So
no, but I'm excited about that. I have my consultation, I guess, the following Monday when this drops. So we'll see about that. Point being, thank you for the compliment about my glasses, but hopefully they're not here for much longer.
Honestly, the consultation hurts more than the actual surgery in a weird way.
Because they do the thing where they take the little square?
Yeah, they do the swab test. Christ, they puff your eyes. They do the yellow dye. They do the dilation. They really put your eyes through the ringer.
I have no recollection of that at all. They didn't do that to me at Qdoba.
No, they didn't need to check. They didn't check anything for you. You had a Groupon, right? So you just sort of walked in and said, I have $48.36 in cash. I can has perfect vision burger. And then you left that day with
and
those...
a side of corn, please.
But I've already done the consultation, which is why I knew I was a candidate then, but... You know, after a year, I have a degenerative chronic dry eye disorder. And obviously, we've all been staring at screens way more the past year. So I just need to make sure that my tear film didn't get so bad that I can't get the LASIK.
Tear film? Your tier film?
Yeah. Your base level of saline.
Nobody knows about this shit. Don't talk about it casually.
The amount of salt on your eye, is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
If you have a, Amir, if you have a note for Jeff, say stop. So no, Ferris knows to cut this stuff out.
This isn't a note on the podcast. I'm actually intrigued about this conversation within the show. Yeah,
I see.
What was the main reason for all of you guys wanting to get LASIK? Was it like you don't want to wear glasses anymore? Because I feel like I'm at the point where I feel like I can never not wear glasses. Like it'll be weird. I'll look weird without glasses.
For me, it was my prescription was not that bad. So I
wasn't
like,
anything. You had 20/20.
It was really like -1.5 or -1 or something. So it was like most of the time I didn't wear glasses. But if I like was driving, I kind of had to. Or if I was watching TV, it would be a little fuzzy. Mm. And like sometimes I just wouldn't have glasses at work, and I'd go on a walk, and it would like get a little disoriented. I was like on the cusp of needing to wear glasses all the time, yeah. But I didn't want to. So I got it before I got there. That was my MO.
And that also means you're super low risk because it's like they don't have to, you know, laser away too much of your cornea.
Interesting.
Amir, what about you? You were a lifetime glasses wearer.
Yeah, lifetime glasses wearer. Jake did a lot of the
defined
pushing and
by
prodding.
It almost.
Yeah. And I've sort of convinced myself, I know, and I am still talking about it, so one second, that I was like, it would be nice to wear glasses still. It would be nice to not wear glasses. And then this laser eye surgery just gave me the option to do both. Like playing basketball with glasses was annoying. Swimming, I couldn't do that. So, you know, every time I got a haircut, I couldn't see what was going on. So I'm like, of course, if I could just snap my fingers and have perfect vision, I would choose to do that. And the laser eye surgery felt like one step beyond that. I'm like, oh, I could pay for a few $1,000 and have perfect vision for the next however long. So I was like, okay, I'll do it. And then if I feel naked without the glasses, I'll still wear them.
And have your peripheral vision.
Yeah, peripheral vision is key too. But within a few weeks, I felt more normal without the glasses. And now I have these like blue light glasses and some empty lenses that I still can put on, but I don't necessarily feel the need to do that.
Yeah.
Like, does this feel weird to you guys, or does this feel about right, average, normal?
I can tell they're blue light. And maybe that's just because
I
know
as well.
You have perfect vision, but it's also like
very reflective. Yeah. I think the one thing that has made me consider like even getting contacts, I don't even wear contacts, is going on roller coasters. Like
interesting. Yeah, you have to hold on to your glasses.
Yeah, you have to like hold on to your glass. Jesus. Can I finish? Or
it was,
are we
I was excited
on?
For you.
No, you weren't. You cut her off with two very loud sound effects.
Which I will say is another, what was a piece of advice given to Jeff was to.
You got to mix that down.
Yeah, he's taking a phone call also, which is great. But it was
to lower
to
the
not
levels.
Interrupt people.
Yeah, this is
interesting.
But yeah, I love roller coasters. There was like one time I went on a roller coaster where
should be fine. Maybe
8:30 I was by myself and I had my phone and my glasses on at the same time, but I was like afraid of them falling.
Sorry, I was just gonna say I can meet you
was
in
like
the parking
a loop-de-loop.
Lot.
So I was like sitting on the ride, holding my phone onto my thigh, like in my pocket, and then holding onto my glasses. So
So just
I also never wore contact lenses. Like it felt too weird.
Well,
to
I wanted
have
to
something
check the
on
lipid
my eyeball
panel
like that.
Because
so,
the last
so for
time
20
I got
years
the blood
I only
done,
had glasses
I had
and nothing else. And I guess you
high,
got used to
I think it.
It
was like the sorry, was like I'm the top 1% of LDL and HDL cholesterol.
To be clear, he's
so
not on
like,
the phone because
starting to get worried for like yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You can see the apps.
See, yeah.
So he's really just
okay.
It's like some weird power move.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
He muted himself so we can't see
at 8:30.
We can't hear him.
If Jeff is playing his conversation.
All right. And then it's just the HDL and the LDL cholesterol that I want to get checked with the lipid panel. Okay, cool. And vitamin D 25 as well.
Foxy. Yeah, for sure.
a fake one. He's not on the phone.
Cool. See you then. And should I? Oh, sorry.
But like
should
he's talking in a way that he definitely knows.
Sorry, I'm like in the middle of a podcast. I have to kind of get back to it.
He's had this.
Okay, I will.
Real conversation. All right,
see you
before.
Then. Have a good night.
He knows about the different kinds of cholesterols and shit.
Yeah. Keep that in.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. Of course.
Welcome to For Comparisons, Jake. You guys know For
We couldn't hear that. There's no way we could hear that. It was deafening. And then you were sort of yelling over it. Peaked absolute nonsense.
You guys know the old adage, like, for comparison's sake?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is For Comparisons, Jake.
You've learned nothing.
What's that?
You've learned nothing.
You haven't even heard
that's the name of the game.
The game. It's not a yes, this or that. It's not a for cash thing yet. It's just a way to wax. It's a fucking format to play
with. Don't get so defensive. You just paused the podcast to take a phone call.
I muted
myself.
Like,
the fact that Amir is like, you haven't changed, it's not just about the game that's happening right now.
You know what? The game itself is what's changed. You guys used to humor me. This used to be great. That phone call is about blood work I'm getting done. I'm basically due for a heart attack in the next 15 years. I'm 23 years old.
What's your diet?
I eat normally. It's probably a symptom of a heterocholesteremia or something. It's a hereditary thing because my ferritin levels are fine, which means that there's no inflammatory issues. It's just high cholesterol from genes. Unless, you know, I need to update my genes.
Yeah. Nice.
And not even a fucking corner smile on Amir's
mouth. I laughed.
The tips of his lips didn't go
He's
up.
He's hiding
even
under
a
his
little
desk.
Bit. Here we go. This is for. Have you guys ever played For Comparison's Sake?
No.
No.
All right. So For Comparison's Sake is where, like, I would be like, oh, what if Marika was sort of like Mussolini? And then we talk about whether or not she is. This is For Comparison's Jake. So it's the same game. Basically, we can all, like, lob up some names of celebrities or public figures. And we say how maybe rate on a scale of 1 to 10 how similar Jake is to that person. Does that make sense?
Sure. Not really.
Let's do a practice round.
The rules make sense. It doesn't make sense why we're playing it. But
okay,
well, go ahead.
Doesn't matter why. Here we go. Right. Howard Stern.
What? What are the options?
No options. Let's just fucking talk about it. Like, is Jake similar to him at all? I would say, yeah, 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10.
Why would you say yeah?
Because they're both hosts.
That's your qualifier.
Didn't Howard Stern used to make people ride a Sibian?
Yeah, he did. And I never did that.
You never introduced toys into the bedroom? I feel like you're sexually adventurous.
This is way too intimate. You're trying to compare fucking Stern's Sibian machine to my personal sex life.
Oh, come on, you're not Brad Pitt. You can talk about this shit.
Oh, yeah. Fornication is akin to fucking LASIK for you, right?
That's how sharp I am down there. It's the same shit.
Jake, have you ever experimented with prostate play? Let's at least answer that.
Move on to the next celebrity.
At least. If you don't want to touch the toys, we should at the very least know if you've ever had your glands expressed.
All right. What about Piers Morgan?
What about him?
For comparisons, Jake. Is he like Jake at all? I do 9 out of 10 here.
Why?
I mean, you don't have the problematic takes that he does, but you do. You are a host.
And so it seems like host is most of your answer.
Yeah. Because
that gets you to 9/10. And then there's just one other one, which is if we have a weird kink in common or something, right?
All right. All right. Very good. Very good. We can all participate, by the way. I don't know why I'm always
okay, cool. Yeah. So it's 9 out of 10. And then me and Piers both like to get a blumpkin. So yeah, that's a 10 out of 10. It's perfect.
Are we pitching things?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, again, it seems like this happened last episode, but you have a clear the pipes in the mouth as a distraction technique. You have a clear written out thing, like you're doing hosts. That's your bit.
They're not all hosts.
But we don't have the luxury of having planned for this. So, like, where do we start?
Just lob it up at any, like, that's the thing. Like, it's not my fault you didn't come prepared. What is your fault and what you have
it
to understand.
It kind of is your fault. You could have texted them about this segment.
Yeah, and I felt that as soon as I said it. I should have texted you guys. I'm so fucking sorry.
You don't have to be that sorry about it because that's a little
off-putting. I'm sorry. Because now you guys feel put on the spot. You feel a little lost. And it was not my intention to make you feel that way. And for that, I'm sorry.
Right. Now you're apologizing to the point where, like, the only way for us to feel better is to, like, compare me to Piers Morgan, which I don't want. I don't want to be in that situation.
Right. Amir, like, you're starting to, like, sour on the episode, so let's save it here.
Starting to?
It was a perfect game until now.
For comparisons, Jake.
I said,
yeah, Marika.
I said, what about Oprah?
I might have to do 10 out of 10 on that one because they're both hosts, for one.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both extroverts.
I don't think I'm an extrovert.
Damn, Daniel.
Yeah, it's still funny.
What about Christian Bale?
I'm going to go like Jake.
Really?
Solely for the hair right now. You both have the Christian Bale hair that I imagine is similar to.
We have similar body. Like, his body in American Psycho is like basically what I look like.
Really?
That's interesting.
That one's like super thick, beefy, and cut.
That's like the one where he's like, my body's perfect.
Yeah.
And I'm a perfect specimen.
He's beefy and shredded in that.
Right. I've heard people online say that I have a body exactly like Christian Bale.
Who said that? Yeah, no way.
Where are people saying
that? Just like different forums and Twitter.
Different forums.
Show us one that said that you have the body like Christian Bale in American Psycho, which, by the way, is like peak physical condition.
Yeah.
And I'm not like vain. I don't like save that.
You're vain because you brought it up. Also, yeah, I just looked it up. No, they said you look like Christian Bale in The Machinist, the one where he lost like 1,000 pounds.
Really? He's like emaciated from the waist up, but kind of like you can tell that you're doughy from the waist down. Like, you have the legs of a doughy man and the upper body of a scrawny.
Oh my God.
Is that Jake or Christian Bale?
This one is actually Bale, but I can see where you can make the mistake, especially like the stance.
Okay, I really hate to see that.
Yeah, I'm going to go not again. The only person in the Zoom that kind of reminds me of Christian Bale is Amir, just in terms of like blowing up at work colleagues.
Right. Christian Bale like pushed his mom one time at a premiere, I think.
There was actually, because the thing is, Amir, and this is where I do think you need to take a little bit of responsibility, is there was a time the old HeadGum office was a loading dock, and the way you would get into the office, unless you want to go through the building, was up the stair set, this little ladder with like three steps. And there were a couple of times where like we'd be coming back from getting coffee or lunch with everybody, and I'd be right behind you. And it would feel like you would get to the top and almost push me down as I was getting to the top off the ladder. But I was like, oh no, like he would never do that like to me. But, you know, now I'm replaying history, revising it to my own consciousness. And I have to think that there was some intention behind it.
I mean, it's unclear if you're saying that he literally did push you down the stairs or if you just thought that he was going to.
No, I shoved him a few times.
Yeah.
Right.
There were a couple times, too, where, like, I would, like, think that you were further ahead of me than you were because I would be looking down at my phone. And so I would, like, step onto the ladder as you were also on the ladder, right? And my face would just kind of go straight into your ass. It was kind of like...
That's why I would kick you. I would kick you with the back of my heel.
And I can't even report that to HR because it was, like, an honest mistake on both parties' sides.
Yeah.
At a certain point, sure, I got off on it, but yeah.
Oh, God.
All right, what about Mickey Dale?
Who is that?
He was in the UK indie rock band Embrace.
Who are they?
They were a rock band in England, man. And I think he's not like you. Because, you know what? You're not British.
So don't bring him up.
And you don't play an instrument other than guitar.
Right.
What did he play?
He played electric guitar.
Yeah.
I played electric guitar.
Also, you said that Jake is like Piers Morgan, who's British.
By the way, Mickey Dale, I'm looking him up. He does kind of look like Jake. So the one person who, like, it seems like you forced, backed your way into it. And then you said he doesn't remind you of Jake at all.
That's true.
What is?
What about Saxton Hale?
Who are these people? Conservative talk show hosts and British museums.
He's a character in Team Fortress 2.
Saxton Hale, he's a cowboy that where it looks like he's a fucking... what is this?
This is a multiplayer game from the mid-aughts. And I think that he does remind me a little bit of you because he's kind of a nature boy, dude.
Saxton Hale is a daring Australian president and CEO of Man Co. and the star of many comics. He is considered the fourth richest man in America.
Might as well say the CEO of Brother Sister Beard Oil, whatever you do.
Thanks, man.
What about Job Mail?
He left.
Are you kidding me?
So
we didn't even reconcile.
Yeah, that
Job Mail was the first mayor of Plainview, New Jersey. So I'm going to have to go similar to Jake because Jake is from CT, which is sort of like NJ.
Wait, you said similar. Mm. The game was 1 to 10. And now you've just shifted the rules to just
eight,
like one vague, some eighth, really?
Yeah, eight for male.
Because he was mayor of New Jersey and I'm from Connecticut.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, because like I could imagine him, there's got to be like a Toad's Place in Plainview.
There's not. There's only one Toad's.
Yeah, there's only one Toad's Place.
I think it's like, that's like their slogan.
Yeah, that's true. Let's get Amir back in here. All right, what about Kirkpatrick Sale?
How are we? Oh
God. How? You begged me to come back. You said everything would be different. So, sorry about what went down. Believe you me, this next part won't be like the last. I come back on and the first thing I hear is, okay, what about Patrick Sale?
Kirkpatrick Sale.
Yeah, so no. It is the same
so
shit.
So he was an anti-globalization leftist. And I have to think that it's similar to Jake because he's also on the right side of history. By the way,
the problem with the games was that they were, it's always this or this, this or this. You introduced this game and said, you know, it's a scale of 1 to 10 and we can discuss the similarities. It's instantly turned into similar or not. And then that's it. And there's no discussion.
I'm trying to foster communication. Nobody's fucking saying anything other than whether you're similar.
You're not trying
or not.
To foster communication. You're just saying different celebrities that rhymed with Christian Bale. That's all you've been doing.
Well, nobody's stopped. Nobody's come to a stop the whole fucking episode. I said you could.
We did come to a stop. Amir left. How's that not a stop?
William Vale.
The hotel.
Sure. I gotta say similar because you don't live too
it's
far.
Similar, it's similar to Jake, 10 out of 10. He loves the veil.
I do love the veil. The veil calls to me. I am the veil, and the veil is me.
Amir, I have to ask.
No, Zona you don't Gale. Have to ask. What?
Zona Gale. Author of such pivotal works as Heart's Kindred.
Didn't this come up recently? You bring her up a
lot.
Yeah,
every fucking episode.
You have to move on.
This all goes back to you saying you were going to be more relatable.
This next one you guys are going to like. That was for Comparisons Jake.
Stop.
Amir is covering his camera, not the screen.
Welcome to Founder or Mike. Right. Have you guys ever played Founder or Mike?
No.
All right.
You stripped. You stripped during that.
You know, I'm going to bring us to a stop here. Amir covered his fucking camera / laptop screen, and now it's blurry. It's a little bit taking away from the show, and I'm wondering, too, I feel like I haven't gotten any positive feedback from you guys this episode. At least the other one was like, it was really hard. There was harsher criticism, but also more positivity.
This has been a completely average show. You showed no signs of growth whatsoever.
You gotta be shitting me with that. I did the better mix, damn Daniel. I literally built the fucking For Comparisons Jake segment with the idea that you guys would have a lot to say. It's not my fault that you didn't show up.
You named like four people we didn't even know.
Yeah, why do you
segment.
Think we would have a lot to say?
Kirkpatrick Sale? You thought we'd have a lot to say about my similarities?
To Zona Gale?
You also started with talking about Howard Stern and his Sibian machine. So I feel like there was no way at the very beginning that we would have lots to talk about.
What kind
about.
Of conversation did you want to foster when you were asking if I'd introduced anal play into my sex life with three or four of my coworkers?
That's the thing, right? And this is actually going to bring it back to your guys' podcast. So like you'll want to talk about it a little bit more because you're both, to a certain degree, narcissistic. I think that there was a time I was on If I Were You a couple of years ago, and this was around the time you started that unsolicited advice segment. And my unsolicited advice was basically a premonition that the 2020s, the whole decade, would be the next roaring 20s. And I thought this with no, I wasn't basing that off anything. What has happened over the last calendar year is people DMing me, tweeting at me, commenting on shit, sending me the episode, being like, you couldn't have been more wrong. 2020 has been the opposite of the roaring 20s. Everybody's inside, etc. But it's only further cemented that the 2020s is going to be the next roaring 20s, right? Because the Spanish flu launched the roaring 20s. There is no Great Gatsby without the fucking flu. And there is no, I don't know, whatever pivotal work is going to come out of the 2020s without COVID. And so I think what we all have to understand is that everything's interconnected. The four of us are all part of a collective spirit. So when, Amir, when you're rude to me, you're rude to you. Does that make sense?
No.
You called us narcissists and then went on like a 2-minute tirade fucking correcting
about
people for DMing you for something that you said in 2019 or something. That's That's narcissism, man.
That's a good note. That's actually a really good fucking note. All right, this game you guys are going to like. I modeled this one after Jesse or Paul. Amir, you actually missed one of our favorite games so far, which was Jesse or Paul McCartney edition, where I would say a quote and they had to attribute it to which McCartney, Jesse or Paul. This is founder or Mike. And so it's McDonald's edition. Basically, I'm going to say a quote and you guys have to attribute it to either the founder himself, Ray Kroc, the guy who worked with the McDonald's brothers to globalize.
Steal their restaurant.
Yeah, to steal the restaurant, take it on the road in a way, which is musical, which is why it relates to Michael McDonald.
Frontman of the Doobie Brothers, background singer for Steely Dan, solo artist, etc. He's the one that's like, he came from somewhere back in a long...
That one?
Yeah, for sure.
She had a place...
fucking say, let's... Let's go. We're not interrupting. We're not fucking getting into the way. Just start the game. You will not start it.
Stop.
No.
No stopping.
We have to power through.
2 episodes ago, I said you made a Steely Dan joke and got mad at everyone for not laughing. And I was like, hey, Jeff, this is because you keep making references that are so specific to you. And of course, you've brought it back. Of course, the segment that you think we're going to like, all based on the fact that you just started listening to Steely Dan this year.
This has nothing to do with Steely Dan.
That was a Steely Dan aside.
Yeah.
That we criticized you for because you got mad no one laughed. We said it wasn't relatable. You said you were going to work on your relatability. You show up this week with a Steely Dan segment.
No, it's not. It's a Steely Dan and a Ray Kroc segment. He just sang backup on one Steely Dan album is all. Founder or Mike? I'm going to say the quote. You say whether it comes from the founder of McDonald's or Michael McDonald. Ready? Mm-hmm.
This is the new game that isn't like the old game because we used to get mad at the old game for being complete gibberish.
I want to play.
And now we're...
Okay. You know, I feel like we should do some kind of like exercise to get us out of this anger. So have you guys ever done Crazy Eights? It's where you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,
I feel so bad for like Jake and Marika because like this is how their weekend starts. Like for me, it's 2, so like I still have a few hours to like decompress and like sort of chill before 5. For them, it's like it's over and now it's like now I have to have dinner soon with this in me. Like that.
And I also have to do more work.
Yeah.
So. Founder or Mike? When I get in a bad mood about anything, I realize, hey, I'm still working. It could be a lot worse.
Michael McDonald.
Yeah, Michael McDonald.
That's correct. I also should have said that every right answer is $10 to you. Every wrong answer is $10 owed to me. So that's $10 to Jake and Marika. Here we go. There are things...
Wait, so founder or Mike? What's the connection? Because it's Ray Kroc or Mike McDonald? Because it's McDonald.
The founder of McDonald's or Michael McDonald?
This is such an insane reach. How did you... get to the end of the idea well. All right, go on.
There are things money can't buy and hard work can't win. One of them is happiness.
Ray Kroc.
Yeah.
Founder.
That's correct. That's $20 to Marika, $20 to Jake. I guess Amir is a sensible gambler because he hasn't even tried. All right. Creativity is the highfalutin word for the work I just have to do between now and Tuesday.
Michael McDonald.
You're at $10 now because that was Kroc. The founder. Yeah. Yeah, that's actually absolutely correct, Jake. So here we go.
There you go.
$30 to Jake, $10 to Marika. Amir's breaking even. Here we go. I don't know that we ever overcome doubt. We just have to remember that it's more likely a poodle in the bushes, not a grease and not a grizzly bear.
Kroc.
Michael McDonald.
So that's wrong to Jake, correct to Marika. Amir again hasn't even tried. We're looking at $20 each, $0 for Amir. Here we go. The procurement element of the...
How many are there?
What's that?
How many are we going through right here?
We're about like halfway through.
One more? Halfway. So about 5 more?
4.
Nice.
The procurement element of the scorecard will, in effect, promote the support of manufacturing in South Africa.
Kroc.
Kroc.
That's Michael McDonald, the singer.
Wow.
Talking about what?
He was talking about voting rights and access and racism. This was in 2006, so kind of on the twilight of his career. Jake and Ricky, you're at $10. Amir, you owe me nothing, but I owe you nothing. And that's also kind of like a metaphor
for
this
you do
whole
owe
show.
Me nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You do owe me a platform, though, I will say that. It's because, like, You've invested this many years into my career.
I don't think
that I'm actually wondering if you make
a
call to Streeter and I can submit for Weekend Update.
As far as I'm concerned, you're gone. You're done, man. You're fucking done.
At this After point, this episode, it's done?
It's done. I think so. I think this is the end. I think it's over for you.
Unbelievable. I have three more to get through, but it's going to be so much sadder knowing that. Here you go.
Let's hear it. It's cool. Last segment was founder or Mike. What a note to go out on.
Sorry, just like trying to choke back the tears. This is kind of funny. It's ironic at this point. The two most important requirements for
Speak up a little bit. I can't hear.
Yeah, sorry.
I can't play founder or Mike if I can't hear the quote. Yeah. That's all.
It's ironic at this point because like this has become a major failure.
Is this the quote?
Nope.
Founder. Oh, okay. Sorry. I thought, let's just play the game.
The two most important requirements for major success are first, being in the right place at the right time, and second, doing something about it. And then that's ironic because I'm like a failure at this
point. It's got to be Croc.
Croc.
That's correct. It's the founder, Croc. Nice. Yeah, here you go. We love you, Little Rock.
Michael McDonald.
That's true. All right. $30.
It's 40.
At this point. All right, as long as you're green, you're growing. As soon as you're ripe, you start to rot.
Croc.
Croc.
50 each.
Nice. It's a fun game.
Nice. We lost.
Yeah. Nice. Done. It's over. The spell is over. His reign is over. That's it, right? That's the show?
I think so. Good stuff. Good stuff.
Hey, that's a fucking camera wrap on Jeff. That's it. Fuck yeah. Congratulations to everybody that's heard the show before. Fucking looks like we made it. Look how far we've come, my baby. Yes, it's nice. The fucking grand finale. And dude, thank you so much. We couldn't have done it without you. I look forward to seeing who takes the fucking mantle, who takes the reign. You've done such a good job up until
now.
Nah.
Hey.
Jeff's dead.
Oh my god.
Or to the show, basically. Not actually. Sweet.
Jeff, hit us with the old outro.
Let's hear it. One last time.
The swan song. Yeah, one final
you haven't
thing
fired.
What about review?
What's that?
Plugs.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter, Blumenfeld, and then Marika Elon is Marika on Twitter. Weekend Plants? I might watch Bad Trip.
I heard it's good.
I heard it's really funny. Yeah. I'm excited. I'm really excited, actually. For the first time in a while, I'm like...
You're gleeful. Pumped. You're positively giddy right
now. I'm glowing. And I never say that about myself. I feel optimistic. And I don't know if it's getting shots in arms or the fact that we finally finished this pandemic. This disease is nearly
COVID-19's over not over. We have so
I'm
many more months.
I'm not talking about COVID. Talking about a much bigger cancer.
Oh, my God.
You're a tumor. Good night, everyone.
That's actually enough.
Holy shit.
4 weeks being told everything I do wrong. No credit given. Listeners up. Cash is coming in. Sponsors after sponsors. BetterHelp wants to help. And I'm getting better. You have love in your life. You have Avital. Jake has Jill. Marika has a roommate, a really close friend of hers that cares to live with her. I live in a basement. Guess what? There is a bedroom upstairs. My roommates made me live in the basement. So if I could have 45 minutes of your guys' time once a week, right? I think you'll throw me that bone if you give a shit at all. You said I was a cancer. You said I was a disease.
I didn't realize we were monetizing the show.
What was that?
I didn't realize we were making
So you missed like Jeff's
making money
kind
off
of breakdown
kind of everything.
Is you missed
because we're not paying Jeff. Yeah. So like, what's break even?
Yeah.
$0 an episode. The fact that we're bringing in any money is probably reason enough to keep the trains going. And I think I spoke too soon. And if Jeff wants to, he can keep doing it, I guess.
Let's do this. Amir, you yelled at me, I yelled at you. Let's call it even, Steven Seagal, as you would say. I actually just saw your guys' web series. It's actually kind of funny.
Oh, God. Yeah, whatever gets us to the end, I guess that's it, right?
Let's shake on it. We're only about halfway through this episode, but let's shake on it.
No fucking way.
Oh, what if it's, we've come to the end. It's the audit, 4 weeks. Let's do the final stop. Stop! I think this show is better than ever. I think I have become a better man, a better person, a better host, a better Jost. I'm wondering if, Amir, you and Ash ever need a third, I'm your guy, you know that. Jake, and you and Jill ever need a third, I'm your guy, you know that. Marika, we can try and figure something out in terms of like your roommate, me.
No.
For sure.
You guys are giving me nothing. There's this like weird tension in the air. I'm trying to wrap it up. Nobody's
weird
telling
tension.
Me
all you're doing is propose having a fucking threesome with all of us. Weird tension in the air. You're worried.
And it's our fault?
Is it something we did? Really?
I'm seeing smiles.
You fucking wanted, you ended this audit by
propositioning
us. You did this final stop for us to recap, and then you immediately went on a thing about threesomes.
Menages.
Yeah.
Jake? What are you hoping for in the future of the show? And is this a formal renewal?
God, you're so desperate.
I almost feel like that's the move, is to like act like nothing happened.
To not learn anything from the process?
No, I'm going to take the lessons forward, but the format of the show stays the same for sure. You mentioned I don't get paid. I'm wondering if I get paid for sure. I'm wondering, and to basically solidify that I'm doing just fine and that the show can continue on if it makes cash.
Great.
And I'm going to say I'm sorry. I'm sorry that my behavior led you to scream at me in front of the entire company. And is there anything you want to say to me?
I accept your apology. Let's fucking end this show already.
And are it's you over. Feeling
oh my God.
Apologetic.
You
apoplectic.
Know, apoplectic. The second
just
one.
Say sorry. Right? I'm trying to fucking reconcile.
He's so checked out. He is so checked out right now. Every single time you've asked him a question, it's been a one-word fucking brush you off response because he keeps on expecting you to end the show. That's what's going on. You're not going to get the breakthrough.
You're holding him hostage.
Sorry.
You really mean that?
He left.
This went better than I could have fucking hoped.
That was a HeadGum Original.